just felt like the Lord was saying that he's bringing you to a new level. And even as you were releasing that word about breakthrough, the Lord says that there's a breakthrough anointing that's on your life. And the Lord says that even as you break through in this moment, that there's many coming after you. And I saw it was like a, you know, when the basketball team comes through and there's a paper and they break through. I saw you breaking through. And the Lord says there's many, 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 many behind you that you're bringing into a realm of breakthrough. And the Lord says that everything that came against you, he says, I'm going to use it to glorify my name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a team that's coming through the breakthrough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to John 12. That's where the Lord took me to. Don't you know it's just so wonderful to come into his presence? Wasn't that a beautiful presence in the place today with the worship team? Thank you to that team. Let's give them a great big hand. JJ and the team. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Jesus be the name. We sing all those songs about Jesus, but to Jesus. And what I was seeing during the worship when we were singing that song, Jesus be the name, I saw the word Jesus, but it was on our lips, it was on our forehead, it was on our hearts, it was on our hands, it was on our feet, and it was like, Jesus. And I really feel the presence of the Lord so strongly that he's inviting us into his presence like never before. And I want to tell you that I feel right now there's a shift. You know, we're almost one-third of the way through the year. One-fourth of the way through the year. Can you believe that? Feels like we just celebrated New Year's. And it feels like time is going so fast. But what I'm saying to you is I feel the Lord saying shift. And that he's calling us to shift. Things are shifting in this season. But that the biggest shift we can ever do in this moment is towards Jesus. And I want you to say this with me, the priority of his presence. Oh, that's what he was speaking to me. You know, of course, we're celebrating the Holy Week this week. This is Palm Sunday. And there were people that were lining the streets as he was coming in to Jerusalem. He had spoken to his disciples. He knew what was ahead of him. They didn't really know everything that was going to go on. But in the moment, even though he was coming to do that which he had been ordained to do, to be the lamb, to be the sacrifice, to be the ultimate offering, the people were looking for something else. They were looking for a king. But in that prophetic moment, they recognized him. Even though they didn't even know what they were doing, they began to line the streets. They began to get the palm branches. They began to wave them. And you know, traditionally, kings were seated on donkeys and kings were led in that way. And what they were doing, they were looking for a king to rescue them governmentally. But God was setting his government in place. But there was a recognition by the people. But I'm telling you, God wants a lot more than recognition. He wants a lot more than just recognizing. Because you know that even the demons know. But they don't serve, they don't love, they don't truly recognize. So those same people that were waving those palm branches later down the road when he was on the cross, it could have been some of the same people that were saying, crucify him. We don't know. But God wants to take us to a whole different realm beyond recognition. Now, granted, we need to recognize the times that we're in. We need to know the prophetic season that we're in. We need to grab a hold of the changes and the shifts. And thank God somebody was there and they were declaring out into the atmosphere and they did recognize the prophetic moment. They said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So there is something about being that remnant that cries out and declares what God is doing in this moment. And so we need to be that, but we need to be so much more than that. Because we can see the prophetic moment, or we can see the signs of the times, or we can know the desperateness of the hour and know that people need Jesus, but still not be turning to him ourselves. And what the Lord said to me was the priority of his presence. That is his call to us right now. And I want to take you to John 12. In John 12, verse 12 is when he came in. He came into Jerusalem. And it says, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. Oh, don't you know they went down the road to meet him? You know, those words just popped out to me. To meet him. They met him, recognizing that there was something upon him. They recognized the power. They recognized the miracles. They recognized that there was a longing for him to come into Jerusalem to bring something that they hadn't seen before. There was a longing, and it said, to meet him. But I want to take you somewhere before that, because this crowd, they went down to meet him, and they waved their branches, but there was a different kind of meeting that I want to take you to, and I want to take you back to that time and that season at the beginning of the chapter. Verse 1, and I'm reading from the New Living Translations because this is the Bible I like to have my devotions with. And I was spending time with God yesterday with this one, and so I'm going to read from the New Living. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. And a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. And then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus too. Oh yeah, they're always trying to kill the testimony, the miracle. For it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. So I want to just paint this little story for you. Before all the people heard about Jesus coming and went down with the palm branches to meet him, before that, there were three who met him in a completely different way. In a completely different way. They met him at the house. They met him at their home. They met him And they were in relationship with him. And I really believe that the Lord is speaking to us about three different positions he's called us to based on the lives of these people. Martha, serving. Lazarus, fellowshipping. It says Lazarus reclined with Jesus. And Mary, worshiping and pouring out her ointment. And as I was contemplating this, each and every one of these is a call to us. It's a call to me. It's a call to you. It's a call for this moment. Because I'm telling you, even as they were in a prophetic moment of destiny in that time, in that season, they had no idea that this was all that even that since the foundations of the world, this was a moment that prophecy was being fulfilled. That your destiny and mine, salvation was being released. So there was a stirring in the atmosphere. There's a stirring in the atmosphere now. There's a lot that is going on now. There's a lot going on governmentally. There's a lot that's going on in our society. There is a stirring. If you are prophetic, which means you hear God or are feeling the urgings of God, then you know that this is a season that we are beginning to go into a season like no other. And there is a readiness that has to come. And even though we can, as a crowd, anticipate what God is going to do and how he's going to move, there is a prophetic readiness right now, and it begins with you. They were in the house with Jesus because he had manifested himself personally to them. And that's my question to you today. How has Jesus manifested himself to you? Because I believe that there's a new encounter for you. There's a new encounter for you. There's a new encounter for you. Say it. There's a new encounter for me with Jesus. You know, that song had been on my heart. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Take all I have. Because you remember when Jesus was in the house and people were trying to get to him and they said, oh, outside, I'm sorry, I'm switching stories for a minute. They said, outside, there's all these people and they want to get to you, and they say that your brothers and your mother are out there and they're trying to find you, trying to get to you. And he said, who is my brothers, my mother? Who? Those who obey, do my will. There's another scripture that talks about we have to hate our family and follow Jesus. Do we actually have to hate our family? No, of course not. But what it was saying was in comparison to our relationship with him, there can't be any other that compares. Of course, we're supposed to love our family. But what they were doing was they were providing such a contrast. And we need to have such a contrast in our hearts that nothing else will compare to that which we give of our attention, our ambition, our motive. And I'm preaching to myself, by the way, because I'm feeling convicted right at this very moment. Nothing else will compare to how our heart is put upon him. And there were three who had encountered him in a very specific way. Martha, she encountered him. She loved him. She served him. And you know, lots of times she gets a bad rap, but you know, there is something special about the place of service. The Lord talks about that when we serve, if we do it unto the least of these, guess what? He counts as it's done unto him. And I want to just read that. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor, and Martha, what? She served. Martha represents faithful, practical service. Serving does matter. Jesus identified with serving. And if you go over in the next chapter, as he was getting ready, he was preparing himself to do what God had asked him to do. It says he took off his garments and he had a towel and he knelt before the feet of his disciples. And God is calling us to kneel in a place of servanthood, to activate that which is inside of us and give out of it to those around about us. Why? Because when we do it, it's done into him. And he is working through us as his body. You are his body. You are his body. You are his body. And this week, we're celebrating his body broken for us. But how many of you know he breaks and he gives out? And he's doing that through you. He's breaking you. He's breaking a piece of you and he's giving out. When you serve, when you serve, when you serve, you are demonstrating the love of Jesus. Matthew 25:40 says, and the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. When you gave the cup, when you visited the sick, when you ministered to the poor, when you gave out the food, you were doing it to me. When we serve people, guess what? Who are we serving? We're serving Jesus. But don't stop there. Serving is a wonderful place. Sometimes what can happen is that we can serve. We can find our identity in serving. But don't stop there. There's such a greater dimension of our encounter with him. And Lazarus, we know the story. He was the one that was a miracle. He was a miracle. He had been dead. And the resurrection power that was coming in just over a week or more had already hit his life. And he had been raised from the dead. But here in this scripture, I love this. It says, Martha served and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Lazarus was there, fellowshipping, very much alive, very much a miracle, very much a testimony. I want to declare that over you, that you're a miracle, that you're a testimony. And as you fellowship, eat with Christ, there is something that is so transformed in you. It is that resurrection power in you coming and even impacting those around about you. You see, in those days when they ate, they reclined and they would lounge. What does that suggest? That suggests let's not be in a hurry. You know, we're fast food society. You know what I'm saying? We eat in the car. We eat through the drive-thru. We eat, you know, microwave. Go, go, go. It wasn't like that back in the day. They prepared the food and they reclined. They were resting. They were trusting. They were enjoying. There's something about when you sit at a table, isn't there? You partake together with one another and you partake of one another. There's something about coming at the table and debriefing from your day. There's something about talking and sharing your thoughts, your ideas, your experiences. And have you ever noticed that the more that you linger, the deeper the conversation goes? Have you noticed that? If you're real quick, oh yeah, it was good, my day was good, whatever. But when you begin recounting memories or experiences, or how was this for you, or how was that, then you begin to linger. There is a depth of communication that comes out. And Jesus is setting a table out before us, and he is inviting us to recline with him. to fellowship with him, to eat with him, to taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Meals, unhurried and relational. That's something that in our culture we don't even understand much. But God, he wants us to eat with him and eat of him. He is the bread of life. And there is something represented by Lazarus who was eating with him. Oh, I'm telling you, that table represents communion. It represents covenant. Covenant, a table represented covenant. They would come together at a table. And when they came into a covenant, a binding agreement, what was yours became mine and mine became yours. Your enemies are now my enemies. But guess what? Your spoils are now my spoils. Hallelujah. And there was a communion with Jesus. Everything that he has purchased for us, hallelujah, has become our spoils. His victory has become ours. And there is an intimacy that he invites us to come and experience with him. And I'm telling you, it is so rich. It is so good. Oh, I'm telling you, there's another encounter for me. Because my priority is his presence. Amen? Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice," do you want to hear his voice? Oh, just tell him. "And opens the door." So we can't just hear, but we have to open the door. How do we open the door? How do we open the door? Our time, our attention, our intention. I believe in these next three quarters of the year that we're going to go into a new dimensioning of opening the door to him. Are you with me? Our time, our attention, our intention. Because he's knocking. He's knocking. Do you hear him knocking this morning? He's knocking. He's knocking. Let's just do that. He's knocking. Prophetically, he's knocking. He's knocking. Psalm 34:8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." You know, he is so much better than we even have a revelation of. The Pharisees, when they saw, and that's the representing, you know, the religious community at the time, when they saw the miracle working power of Lazarus raised from the dead, they just got mad. They got upset. Because people started following Jesus instead of following them and their teachings. And the Lord wants us to be in that fresh place that what he's doing and how his power is being manifest is causing us to ache and yearn for the bread of his presence. For the bread of his presence. You know, there's always some kind of bread that people are looking for. Always. And they might be the bread of provision, might be the bread of success. It might be the bread of achievement. Ultimately, they're just looking for who am I really? We all feel like we need to feel like we are somebody. And we're looking for that in all the wrong places. But there is one place that we can eat of. The bread of his presence that tells us who we really are. A true son and a true daughter. No other thing will ever satisfy us like the bread of his presence. You know, in the Old Testament, they had a tent. It was called a tabernacle. And there were different items and articles in that, but it was a place, a special place where the presence would come. And they had something. They had something called the showbread or the bread of his presence. And there were 12 loaves. Each one represented one of the tribes of Israel. Oh, that to me says everybody's welcome at the table. Everybody's welcome. I have a place set for me at the table. And they would, the priests would have two stacks of six loaves each. And every Sabbath, they would replace these. And these loaves had a special significance that the priests would go in, they would eat of them, they would eat of them. But listen to this. I never noticed this before. They would pour oil over them. And it was actually frankincense. They would pour frankincense over these bread that they would have in the presence. There was an oil that was poured out. There was a perfumed oil. I want to tell you that when we go to the bread of his presence, there is something poured out over us. And there is something that we receive that we can't receive anywhere else. My husband can't get that for me. My mother couldn't get that for me. My children can't do that for me. If we look for fulfillment of who we are in any other relationship, it will fail us. They're just a person. They can't create and instill in me that sense of identity that I need. Now, do they affirm it? Do they help? Yes, but if I begin to draw upon them, I can't live out of what my husband thinks of me or who he says I am. I have to get that from God, and hopefully he's reflecting that back to me. But what happens if my husband fails me, or my father fails me, or my children fail me? I still have Jesus. I still have him. The word says that if my mother, my father, if they abandon me, and God forbid, because we're not called to be mothers and fathers like that. We're called to be like our Father who opens up his heart. But I'm just here to tell you that nobody can do for you what Jesus can do for you. And then when he does that, I take that and I break that open and I bring that forth to pour onto somebody else because they need to encounter Jesus for themselves. But you can't have a walk with God through your father or through your mother or through your children. You have to have your own. I remember that day when the Lord challenged me. I think I was maybe 12 or 13. And he was talking to me about having my own relationship with God. Not something based on my mother, because she loved Jesus. And she was always seeking the Lord. And I would go to church and I would spend time in activities related to church. But there had to be a day where I, as an individual, I wasn't just coming and participating in an activity. I was encountering a person. And that's where he wants to take us to. That's where he wants to take us to. Lazarus reclined with him and ate with him. And then Mary. Oh, Mary. Says in verse 3, it says, Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume, and she anointed Jesus' feet, and the house was filled with the fragrance. I want to tell you that God wants to fill your house with the fragrance. He wants to fill your life. He wants to fill your atmosphere. He wants to fill your literal home. He wants to fill your family. He wants to saturate every part of your life with his fragrance. And how does that come? With the priority of his presence. It doesn't mean that we don't serve, because we do serve. We serve out of his presence. It doesn't mean that we don't conduct the normal affairs of life, because we do. But we do it out of his presence. And he's coming to saturate every part of our house with his fragrance. And you know, Judas got upset. He said, wow, look at that. That's wasted. That's wasted. That was like a whole year's worth of earnings that perfume cost. Oh, don't let somebody else judge your worship. Worship that is true worship is going to be costly. Worship that is true worship is going to cost you something. Time, energy, turning aside to other things. Worship that is real will cost you something. But that is what God is inviting us to come to, because the aroma of that worship is like nothing else. And what we experience when we are there at his feet. You see, she took that expensive perfume, she anointed Jesus with it, even wiping his feet with her hair. Now, for a woman, her hair is her glory. Her glory, the Bible says. But when it comes to Jesus, nothing that would give me glory, I have to lay it all down at his feet. And there are many times where we are motivated by those things that would bring us glory. But the Lord is saying, oh, it's time that you come and lay that at my feet. Because as we do that, that is true worship. That is true worship. That is true worship. It's not so much about how he uses me. It is about how I have my heart positioned in a place of worship so he can use me however he wants to use me, so that all of the glory can go to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus replied, verse 7, he says, leave her alone. Oh, come on. Aren't you glad that Jesus is contending for your worship? Leave her alone. Let her worship. She did this in preparation for my burial. She didn't know that what she was doing in that moment was such a prophetic sign, a prophetic symbol, a prophetic readiness. Let's just stretch your hands out to Michael. Oh, thank you for Michael, Lord. I don't know what your friend's name is. I want to pray. Rosie, I want to pray for you right now. Stretch your hands out to him. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Michael, what I see is the Lord anointing your head with oil. And the Lord says that that oil is the oil of fellowship. And he says he's going to take you into a new dimension of friendship with him. He says you've known about him. And he says you've heard about him. It's another thing to experience him. And in this next season, I just see that the Lord is going to do something even in anointing your ears. So you're going to hear his voice in a new way. And the Lord says, there have been a lot of question marks that you've had. And I see all these little different question marks around your head. But what I see is one by one, they're coming down. And the Lord says, I am the answer. I am the answer. I am the answer. I am the answer. And the Lord says he's even anointing your head with gladness. That there was a time and a season where sadness was your portion. But the Lord says no longer. because I'm anointing your oil, your head, with my oil of gladness, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Jackson, can you go right over there and just lay hands on him? Would you do that for me, please? Hallelujah. Let's just pray for him. Come on, church, pray. Come on, let's pray together. Come on. Oh, Father, we loose that word over Michael today. Father, we thank you that there's a shift in his atmosphere. Lord, we thank you that there's a shift in his home, a shift in his family, a shift in his life. And Father, we call forth that aroma. And Lord, we call forth that anointing, God, that you have for him. Lord, we thank you that you are his portion. And Lord, that he would encounter you in a brand new way. And so, Father, we just loose that to him this morning. And Father, we just declare that hunger for you and your presence is being activated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor Jackson, just put your hand on his heart, right there on his heart, right here on his chest. Yes, come on. And just pray over him. Hallelujah. Oh, God is calling us into true encounter. I want you to hear that. Today, I want you to hear that God is calling you into true encounter. He's calling you into a place of service. He's calling you into a place of eating. He's calling you into a place of reclining at the table. He's calling you into a place of covenant. He's calling you into a place of deeper worship. He's calling you into a place where the priority is his presence. It's a prophetic moment. It's a prophetic moment. It's a prophetic moment. And we're not going to be those who just declare the time and the season. Oh, but we're going to be those who prioritize the presence. You know, the bread was a symbol of his presence. Why? Because you eat it, you partake of it, you ingest it. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to have the ushers in just a few moments pass out those elements. But right now, I want you to bring your heart to Jesus. Bring your heart to that table. Bring your heart into a position of humility like Martha. She served. Covenant at the table. What does that mean? Everything I have is yours, Jesus. Can you give him everything that is you? Your heart, your life, your ambition, your fears. And ask him to come and live inside of you, to be your priority, his presence, his life, Jesus. We want to prepare our hearts for this week, Lord. We want to prepare our hearts for this season. But most of all, we want to prepare ourselves for you as the bride. We can't do it by ourselves. Lord, we can't be holy enough. We have to have that holiness that is yours by the blood. Let's just appropriate the blood today. Is there anything that you need his forgiveness for? Anything. Anything you need his forgiveness for? Oh, just appropriate the blood this morning. If you guys could go ahead and pass those out, please. Let's appropriate the blood. Maybe we've just been too busy. I'm guilty of that. Ask the Lord to wash you this morning. Ask him to forgive you. Maybe we've been running after other things, like Judas. He was running after the gold, the silver. Just ask him to wash you this morning. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. I sure would love to have JJ up here playing Give Me Jesus. Thank you. Just say, I'm transitioning to be a Mary in my heart, in my life. That I would be spreading the aroma. Just say it with me, that I would be spreading the aroma, the fragrance of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give us a heart of worship, Lord. Not just worshiping with a song, worshiping with our time, worshiping with our energy, worshiping with our motives. In every way, worshiping, worshiping, worshiping. In every way, worshiping. Jesus. If there's anything you need to say to him right now, just say that before we take the bread of his presence, his body that was broken. If there's anything you need to say to him personally, just say it. Have some moments with Jesus. It's not about me. It's about him. Just take a moment. Maybe you need to recommit yourself. To prioritizing his presence. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for us. Thank you, Lord, that you took the punishment of our sins upon you. Lord, today as we take this bread, we declare that it's the bread of your presence, that we just want more of your presence, that we want to prioritize your presence. And Lord, that you were broken so that we might be healed. So we thank you, Lord, for taking our punishment, taking our shame, and Lord, giving us your name. Your name, your name. Thank you, Lord. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Take it and eat it in Jesus' name. On the night he was betrayed, he took the cup. He blessed it. Lord, we thank you that you were betrayed for us. Lord, you took that betrayal. And Lord, you gave us instead friendship, covenant, intimacy. And that you endured punishment for us. Thank you that you wash us white as snow. And as we take this cup, we celebrate that we have the cup of fellowship with you. And that you took the cup of wrath for us. So we celebrate and we receive it today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, In just a few moments, we're going to go over to the fellowship area in the Kingsway, and we're going to have a beautiful fellowship meal, and we're going to have baptisms and celebrate with some of our brother and sister that are the symbolization of going from death to life. But I don't want this moment to pass us by, because I believe that he's inviting us to a meal, a different kind of meal, that we would take and eat of him. And he's giving us an invitation to eat of his presence. O koshiki arabasondorobo koshiki. Indiribiki arabasondoroboko. I'm going to ask Ben to come up. Would you come up for, I want you to be on the prayer team. I'm going to ask Pastor Jackson to come up. Hallelujah. Cool. I want to ask Ezekiel to get up. We got some real godly men, come on, around here. I'm going to ask Ezekiel to come on up. Come on. Okoshiki arabasondorovoko. Spread out, guys. Spread out a little bit. And Pastor Anne-Marie, would you come up as well? Hallelujah. I'm going to invite you to come up. You can come up and get prayer, or you can come up and just worship. You can come up and make a declaration that you want to receive the bread of his presence. But we're going to just sing that song one more time. And if it's your heart's cry, maybe you don't even need someone to pray for you, but if you want someone to agree with you, these people are here to bless and affirm and just pray. Maybe you just want to come up in his presence. I want to eat the bread of his presence. I want to prioritize his presence. And I want to respond to the call this morning. If that's your heart, as we sing this song, I just want to invite you to come forward. You're watching online right now and you're feeling that tugging on your heart. I just want to say that the Lord, he's knocking at your door. He's wanting you to open. Just open that door to him right now and respond to him. Oh, and make that be your heart's cry. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Make that your heart's cry this morning. Oh, declare your hunger for him. Oh, cry out to him that he would change your priorities, that you would have the priority of his presence. Just cry out to him. If you're watching online, we bless you. We release you. We pray that the bread of his presence would be yours in a new way. In Jesus' name.